Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
There's a sense that God is real, and there are a lot of people in every generation who have experienced this for themselves. They are witnesses for the Lord. That's what you are. Your testimony, your life, it's to be shared, because there are a lot of people who, they got the word, but they need the witnesses. Where are the witnesses? I think I get it, but where's the light? Where are the people? Is it just me, or are there others that experience this? And so they need to hear your story. They need to hear your testimony. They need you to be around so that they can really grasp the truth, and God can take it and work it all together and transform someone, and they will never be the same.
It's hard to believe in something you can't see. Think about the floor of the ocean or Mars in space. Chances are you've never seen either of those in person. You believe they exist because others have been there and shared their stories. Today, Pastor Troy will encourage you to tell your story. They can be a blessing to someone in your life who's struggling to believe in God. They've never seen or experienced Him, and your faith could be what helps them discover Jesus. Why would you not tell your story? Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Last week, he shifted his conversation a little bit to the hour is coming. And today he continues speaking to them and gives them some reasons why they should believe in him. And it's not because he says so. It's interesting. Jesus doesn't tell them to believe in him because I said so. Now, parents will do that.
Do it because I said so.
But if we don't do the things that we should do to set a good example, and then we try to tell our children, do it because I said so, you're fighting a losing battle. They need to see it modeled. They need to see the why. They need to see how this all works. Do you really do it, or do I just do it because when it comes to your way and me, you versus me, you want to win because you're the parent, and which you should win because you are the parent. But is that your only argument? So Jesus today lets them know, my only argument isn't do it because I said so. In fact, you shouldn't believe anybody just because they say so. When you read the scriptures, you'll notice that Jesus never told someone, believe me because I said so. In fact, according to Jewish, Greek, and Roman law, you needed at least two witnesses to have any chance of having anything believed in law of court. You needed witnesses, something to establish this as fact, not just you. So Jesus doubles that and gives them four witnesses, signs or pieces of evidence that support the fact that so you guys say I'm claiming to be equal with God. Let me give you some evidence to show you that's not just a claim and it's not blasphemy, but it's true. And that's where we find ourselves today. We will answer the question, why should I believe? So in verse 30, we read this, Jesus continuing, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another who bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you are willing for a time to rejoice in his light. The first reason or answer for why should I believe is because of what others have declared. What others have declared. Jesus is saying, you know what? I don't need the testimony of a man. I don't need anyone to come alongside and say, hey, what he says is true. I don't need that because it's true. However, for your sake, I have testimonies even. I have those who can witness for me that this is true. that prove who I am. So the witness that he mentions is John the Baptist. Because for a time, they really appreciated John the Baptist. I mean, who doesn't appreciate you're being oppressed by the Roman government, the Roman soldiers, and Herod himself? And here's a man who stands in the water and goes, "You're a sinner. You're in a bad relationship. You guys," like, "Yeah, lay it on him, man. This guy is not politically correct. This guy's just letting these guys have it." So they, for a time, they really enjoyed John the Baptist. They admired him because he said it like it was. And even the Romans and Herod were not outside of his willingness to put his life on the line and say what was true, the reality. So John the Baptist wasn't politically correct. He said it like it was. He stated the facts, and they were true. And they rejoiced in his light for a time. So Jesus says, "Let me call that man to the witness stand, John the Baptist." Now, John the Baptist, and here's why he makes such a great witness. John the Baptist was related to Jesus. He was a cousin, a second cousin. Jesus's mother, Mary, and John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, were first cousins. So Jesus and John grew up related. So their moms shared stories. Obviously, Mary, after her experience, ran down and heard about Elizabeth and shared that experience so they could both pass down similar stories. And they knew about these things. So John is a great witness because he could have watched Jesus' life or heard about Jesus' life and all that had happened and taken place. He had his own story. So it's really cool, very convincing, when someone like John the Baptist, who knows him, can say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not only that, but John was, he said certain things about Jesus. He said, "I'm not worthy to even loose his sandal straps." And he also said something very interesting, because John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. And yet John the Baptist said, "He was before me." Now that's a reference to the fact that I am a man. I was born before him, but he is no mere man. He was before me. Before me, he was. So John the Baptist states these things about Jesus, who's a cousin, a relative. Now, I know I was a pretty good kid. I was able to stand here and say that with confidence with my mother right here. I think I was a pretty good kid, and I had some family members, some cousins, who would look up to me, being older than them, being an athlete, all of those things. And they looked up to me, but I guarantee you, none of them would ever say of me, "Behold, the Lamb of God, that's God." They would not say that. They know me. And that's what's so compelling about John's testimony. He knew him. And he could say, "There he is, God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So Jesus points to John's witness. But the New Testament is filled with other witnesses. Peter obviously walked with Jesus. Now, if anyone would deny Jesus, it would be Peter because of a frustration. I mean, that guy called me Satan one time. I'm trying to defend him. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." I said, "I'm not rolling with a guy like that. I'm not defending him. He didn't defend me." But Peter couldn't deny. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says this, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." John, who wrote this gospel, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." So these guys heard his sermons firsthand. These guys saw his miracles firsthand, experienced his power to perform things through them firsthand. They saw lives changed firsthand and experienced life transformation themselves firsthand. Their faith, it wasn't in clever stories. It wasn't in a group of, you know, people who put together some mere religion and said, "I'll buy into that." Did you know that our Bible, it's not just a book invented to create a religion. It's history. It's the testimony of those who walked with Jesus. Said, "This is who he is. This is what the claims were. This is what happened. This is the evidence." We weren't there, but we've been handed down this testimony, the evidence of what's happened. The Gospels were Jesus' life. What happened? Who is he? What did he did? What were the claims? The book of Acts, right after the Gospels, is what happened in the church when he ascended, poured out his Holy Spirit. What happened to us? What happened through us? Through the apostles, through those who were left behind. That's what it tells us. So our faith is not in some mere religion, some book we look at to get morals from. It reveals who Jesus is. We don't put our faith in the writer. We don't put our faith in the words. We put our faith in the one the words communicate about. This is who he is. Now, believe in him or not, but this is who he is. I could tell you that I had found the perfect smoothie. I could say this smoothie has transformed my life. It's the real deal. As Jackie Gleason once said, it's goody, good, good. And since I have found this smoothie, my life is complete. I have joy. I have more energy. Everything has changed. Life is better. I make better decisions. I think more clearly. The burden of life has been removed because of the decision-making process. This is a smoothie of all smoothies. And your first reaction would probably be, this guy is a nut. But if we were to really want to test it, if we were to be open to testing this, your test would be this. Before I believe in this, I want to see if there are any others who have a similar experience. Are there any witnesses? Witnesses to this happened to him, or others who've experienced the same exact thing that maybe don't even know him. So are there any of those?
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Not only are there witnesses in the scriptures, but there have been witnesses and continue to be witnesses for Christ in every generation. Their own testimony about what Christ has done, who he is, what he's done in their heart, that it's him. Yes, a man was preaching. Yes, a man was evangelizing. Yes, it was a friend that God used, but they said something they don't even know they said, and God spoke to my heart. There's a sense that God is real, and there are a lot of people in every generation who have experienced this for themselves. They are witnesses for the Lord. That's what you are. Your testimony, your life, it's to be shared, because there are a lot of people who, they got the word, but they need the witnesses. Where are the witnesses? I think I get it, but where's the light? Where are the people? Is it just me, or are there others that experience this? And so they need to hear your story. They need to hear your testimony. They need you to be around so that they can really grasp the truth and God can take it and work it all together and transform someone, and they will never be the same. So you can believe because of what others have declared. But verse 36, Jesus goes on, "But I have a greater witness than John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Yeah, this work that you've overlooked because it was on the Sabbath, following your rules, says, these works testify. So another reason we should believe, because of what Jesus has done, what Jesus has done. Remember what Jesus did before this conversation. He had healed a man at the Pool of Bethesda who had been diseased for 38 years. This isn't like a guy who had a cold and Jesus said, "I heal you," and a week later he was well. 38 years, this was diagnosed, this was his state of life. This is who he is, this isn't going away. And Jesus heals him in a moment. This was a miracle. Jesus performed a miracle. So it was a miraculous work that drew their attention. The problem for them was that it took place on the Sabbath. This was a little thing, a little quirk about them. This was their philosophy of life. This is the way they ran things. They took God's word and they began to apply it to themselves and apply it their way and interpret their own way. And they started to put their own priorities together and they came up with their own version of what God had said. And because of that, they missed God. So the miracle gave them something undeniable to believe. But because of their own interpretations, their own philosophy, their own block, mental block, they missed the Messiah, the Son of the living God. They wouldn't listen because they had their own way of looking at things. Now, you can't blame them for not jumping on this just because Jesus had done a miracle. Because even Deuteronomy, their own scriptures, said that even if a prophet rises among you and performs a sign, you still need to examine his message. Just someone does some miracles, don't just believe them because of that. That's not enough either. They have to have substance. What's the message? And if that message draws you away from God, if that message causes you to pull away from the Lord or believe something else that goes against what God has said about himself, then you deny that man. In fact, that scripture says you should stone them. Get rid of that prophet, because that's a pretty bold prophet to come and think that he's going to woo you and wow you and win you with miracles when he's a deceiver, when he's lying himself or lost. So the next test for Jesus is, what is he saying? What's his message? Okay, there's a miracle. What's he doing? This is where their philosophy failed them. See, they had prioritized Sabbath. No work on the Sabbath, nothing. But Jesus already convinced them, hey, even the Father continues to work every single day. This isn't about not working. This is about not trying to continue to get ahead, to work for us, work for ourselves. But even the Father sustains things. This is about honoring him, glorying him, resting in him, and not working your work. And so Jesus said, that's why I do only what the Father says. But in everything Jesus did and said, Jesus never once denied the Father or tried to change anything God had said. All Jesus did was what the Father said. And so they saw him and his boldness and said, you make yourself out to be equal with God. Like what you say matters more than what God says. And Jesus was like, no, really what you're seeing is God. I'm not defying and I'm not denying. I'm revealing who God is. That's the difference. So they should be able to look at Jesus, what he's done, and they should have been able to recognize him. But because of their own interpretations of the scriptures, they couldn't see. They couldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. They said, here's what I believe and I'm not listening to anybody else. This is what I believe. And they missed out. In John chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said this, if I do not do the works of my Father, in other words, if I don't represent him, if I don't do what he says, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You know, there's a lot of people who will say things like, I believe in the Lord, I follow the Lord, I love the Lord, I hear from the Lord. But you know what I do? I look at their life. Because anyone can say that. But when you look at the life and you see somebody who's always fearful, someone who's always concerned, someone who's always making bad decisions, someone who's always negative, someone who's always critical, when you see that, you go, that person doesn't hear the Lord. I don't know who they're hearing, but it's not the Lord. It's their own version. It's their own interpretation. It's something they've got in their own mind, but it's not the Lord because the Lord transforms. God's word transforms. I think the reason that Jesus did so many miracles is because it's hard to believe it when a man shows up claiming equality with God. I mean, let's just put ourselves in that place. We have hindsight, but just imagine today he's not come. And today someone shows up. Man, he's a great kid. I mean, perfect. There were some murmurs about his birth, all this stuff. But now he comes and says things like he's equal with God. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. What he says, I do. When I do it, it's because he said it. It's the same thing. You cannot come to the Father but by me. I am the door. You know, if someone comes and says that to you about themselves, we get a little skeptical, and we should. So Jesus is in this environment. He's coming to a people personally, and that's their experience. See, we're well far removed from that, looking back by faith. We don't have a man standing here. Nor would we want to. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. I'm this man here. But Jesus had to deal with this. And so all of these miracles, all of these things that he had done, these were signs for that generation, for that group, in abundance to show them, look at the signs. It is as you say, I am who you claim I am claiming to be. I am. He needed to do these things. Think about Moses. You talk about a man who has to lead a bunch of people who have to believe in him. Moses was sent to the people, and Moses went to the people. Now, can you imagine the people who were in captivity at that time numbered around 2.5 million? That's about the size of the city of San Antonio. Can you imagine raising one voice, you, one voice, coming from out of town, from Bernie, coming in town, and you say, God has sent me, follow me, I'm here to deliver you. You know, something like that, follow me. You're like, you're crazy. I'm not following you. Who are you? You're not even among us. You're not even one of us. And so God did through Moses all of these signs. First, to show Pharaoh, I'm God. I'm God. He's not, neither are his fake gods. So I'm going to show Pharaoh there is a God. But his signs also helped the people, the children of Israel, to acknowledge and to realize and to receive Moses was God's chosen prophet. So when you go, who should we follow? Well, the only one I've seen certain signs through is this Moses. Sadly, it's not long. They're going through the wilderness and they finally go, well, we don't know what's happened to Moses. Let's build a calf and worship that. But God did lots of signs to help the people know this is my prophet. And the same thing happens here for Jesus, a physical man. Yeah, it's a little hard to believe. And you're not going to get him to believe it going, hey, I'm God. Just want you to know I can describe heaven if you want me to. Well, we've got all kind of people who write books about heaven. Half of them aren't correct or accurate, but they were there. So what do? Well, God says, I'm going to authenticate with signs and wonders, miracles. So many, they couldn't all be written down. And so Jesus says, at least look at the signs. If you don't believe my word, and I agree, if it's just me bearing my testimony, don't believe that person, but at least look at the signs. Look what's going on. You know, many believed in him because of the signs, because of the miracles, because of the things he had done. In fact, he confirmed to John the Baptist that he was who he was through the miracles. See, John the Baptist was in prison, and John the Baptist was about to die. And he goes, and he's thinking, and he's going, wow, you know, this is it. This is my life. And he sends out some of his own disciples and says, go ask him, go verify, are you the one? Or are we supposed to wait for another? Just a little doubt, not much, but when your life's on the line, it changes things. You really start to consider. And so his disciples go, and Jesus didn't go, yes, I am. You tell John that is, and you tell him believe because I said so. Jesus didn't say that. You know what Jesus said to him? Look at the sign. Tell John what you see. Take that back to John. The blind see, the deaf hear. Look at the signs. Look around you. So God did all these miracles to make sure that not only would they know, but they could pass this information down. And we could know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the one true God, the one who can save, the only one who can save, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, God still does miracles. He does miracles in places like in Muslim areas. You hear all the time stories, legitimate stories of Muslims sharing their conversion because Jesus visited them in a vision or a dream and told them things only someone who knew them would know, and they get converted. There are stories in Asia of miraculous healings. Just because we aren't the recipient of one, and in our country we're so blessed and wealthy that God doesn't need to do them for us to show us anything, that they're not happening. They're happening all the time. God's still ministering through that. But the greatest miracle we all experience, and that is the transformed life, that we all of a sudden, we see things differently.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your